Our text for today is John 14, 16 through 18, and we've kind of been falling out of that habit a little bit, but let's stand and read this together. Can we do that? All of these sermons haven't had that great as strong a text, but this is just, this is very good, so let's read this together. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Let me just backtrack a little bit or make this statement, because I don't want to get ahead or bring the wrong conclusions here to this. We have talked about the Holy Spirit was given. It's available to all mankind. It's poured out on us, and as we're going to see in these verses we just looked at, he's poured out not just for today, not just when you're doing well, but he's poured out for the rest of your life. He's poured out forever. He's not taking it back. Gift given to you, and a gift that you need to learn to use and depend on if you're going to walk with that. But again, we looked a couple weeks ago at the Pentecost Sunday when the Holy Spirit was poured out, and 3,000 people responded to Peter's message and were saved that day. So here's the thought: the Holy Spirit that's being poured out on us is holy. It's not of this world. It's not compromised. It can't stand in the presence of sin. And that's why Christ had to die on the cross and remove the stain and remove the penalty of the sin from us, so that the Holy Spirit could be poured out on us. But the message to those 3,000 people was, don't quote me exactly on this, but basically, repent and believe. And so there's that place of all of this as we're talking, the Holy Spirit available to us, the Holy Spirit and all of its gifts and his fullness that's coming to us. There's a place that he's holy, and we need to repent before we can receive that. If we're holding on to some area of compromise, if we're holding on to some area of known sin that we are not willing to relinquish, the Holy Spirit is going to have a hard time showing up and coming, because he just can't mix with sin. And so good news is, yeah, our lives are far from perfect, but again, in the blood of Jesus, we can be made perfect. We can be set free. And therefore, the Holy Spirit can come. But again, if we are holding on to areas that we are not yielding to him, if we're wanting him to be Savior and give us the benefits without letting him be Lord, we're kind of walking on some pretty scary ground there. And now you may be struggling with sin today and still be a child of God. There's a difference between that of not being willing to yield to that, not being willing to give that up. It might still have a hold on you, and God is in the process of delivering you from that. But if you are just willfully holding on to this area and saying, I am not willing to change, I am not willing to do what God says, then I'm not sure all of these promises of the Holy Spirit are there and available for you yet. So let God search your heart on that. And again, I'm sorry for that hard word, but I want to preach the truth here too. It's just not all the flowers and the wonderfulness of God pouring out his love on us. He's calling us to change. He's giving us an opportunity to live a different life. And that's very, very significant. So I just wanted to be clear about that and to bring that out, to make sure I'm not painting a wrong picture for any of you with that. So we see here in the scripture that we read, the Holy Spirit that's coming, the Father's going to give us another helper, and that he will be with us forever. And he's the helper that will be with us forever. And we saw that in Pentecost, and that he's poured out. It's not a temporary thing. He's not going to, if you don't live up, he's going to take it back and things like that. It's available all the time for all people, again, if you're willing to believe and repent, to receive that gift. And then he will be with you, and his promise is to finish the work that he started in you, begin to take place of that. Now, I love this, and I've been growing a lot in this picture of the Holy Spirit as a helper. And I got to spend the day with my grandsons again, so you're stuck with another grandson story. Little Simon, not 3 years old yet, but what a world he is living in. You know, wants my cell phone because he knows there's pictures on there and he wants to seize the pictures. He's got this thing down already. You know, he knows, push the buttons here, touch this screen in these places, and it will respond. He doesn't always know how, but if he sees the button, he knows, let's push these. And he's learning how to swipe, too. I can't even do that very well. I'm trying to answer the phone, swiping this thing, and I got to call you back because I don't get it answered in time. But he's catching on to all of those things. So he says, oh, let me look at your phone. And so I give him my phone, and he wants to get the pictures, and he's getting there. He gets it started. He knows the first button to push and things like that, but he can't get very far in there. And eventually, I want to do it myself. I kind of know how this works, but I'm not really, really sure. And at some point, after a couple minutes of frustration, I say to him, would you like some help? Because originally he didn't want the help. You know, I can do this. Just, I know, push these buttons and swipe, and eventually you get someplace. Who knows what I have signed up for, and who knows what friends I'm on with the Facebook these days. Probably people I've never heard of before. Might be my friends now, but all of that. And yet he at some point, he's reluctant, and yet he gives that over and says, yes, I need help. I can't really do it on my own. I kind of got the general direction, but I can't. I'm not coordinated enough to type in the 5-number code. I don't know. I haven't taught him that yet. Maybe wisely what it is. And isn't that an illustration of here? God is a helper. Okay, try it yourself. Do it on your own if you want. But I'm right here. I know how to unlock these things. I know how to get where you want to go. I know what the answers are. I am more than willing to help you. And as a grandfather, I'm also more than willing to look over his shoulder and make sure that he's doing things right and I'm not buying the London Bridge or ordering a 10,000 of something like that. So what a neat picture of the Holy Spirit as a helper that is to me. Would you like me to help? Yeah, I need the help. I'm making a mess of things. And how often do we do that? How long do we do the same thing over and over again in our lives? We've talked about this. How we grew up was normal. That's just the way you've learned to operate. That's the way you've learned to survive. And we ask, at some point, do you stop and ask yourself the question, how well are these strategies working for you? You know, are you just fighting the same battles week after week with yourself or with your kids or with your boss or any of those things? You know, could there be a better way to solve these things, do these things? And again, the Holy Spirit's there to welcome us and to share those things, to give us help. One of the things that it says here then with that he's the helper, but the world cannot receive him because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. And so there's this idea here too that the world can't understand. They're not going to, they think we're crazy. You're talking to God and he's answering you. It's not so bad you're talking to him, but he's answering back to you. He's giving you the help that you need. He's there and available for you. To the world just can't see that because they don't know him. Looked at this verse last week, 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You know, you can talk all day, describe something to a blind person all day long, and you're not going to be very effective, are you, until you can open his eyes. And the world just does not understand. It cannot fathom what it would be like to have this Spirit of God living inside of you, active in your lives and involved in your lives, and the different ways that he can help you, the different things he can speak to you, guide you, and comfort you as he does those things. But you can see those things. He abides with you, which gives again that picture he's staying. He didn't just come for the weekend. He's just not here for vacation. He's kind of moving in. It's a bad sign when you see all the suitcases coming in, right? It's not like that's going to be an extended stay. He comes to abide with you and will be in you. He's making a commitment to you in your life as you're open to him. John 14:26 here again talks about this, the Holy Spirit as a helper. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you, all things you need to know. And doesn't he promise that in James? If you need wisdom, ask and I'll give it to you. And I won't call you dumb for asking what you feel is a dumb question. Generously and without reproach. I've got the time. I've got the understanding, and I'm a good explainer. I can help you through this, even if I've got to walk this through 10, 20 times with you before you catch on. I've got the time. I'm willing to do that with you, says the Holy Spirit. Gives you the wisdom. He gives you the promises that everything you need, for life and godliness, it talks about in 2 Peter. And we see then again this wisdom or this helper, and it's connected to, I will bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So there's a connection here between the Holy Spirit and what he's going to teach you, how he's going to guide you, and what is in God's word. It's connected to God's word. It's not a separate ministry. This is not a whole new class. This is not a whole new subject, a whole new school year that you're entering into. This is just the reinforcement of what Jesus has been showing you and teaching you all this time. All that you've learned about God is the helper is going to come and do those things. And then he also describing the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth. He's a helper, the Spirit of Truth. See that in a couple places in here. Again, it was already in the John 14 that we started with, our text. But in John 16. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. For he will glorify me, and he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I say that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. And we could ask today that question very well, couldn't we? What is truth? And it used to be seeing is believing. But in this world of AI these days that is coming on our culture, that is not true anymore. You know, it can look so good. It can look so exactly right. And it can seem to all the pieces fit together and stuff like that. But it's just an artificial creation of man or a machine that man has made. And so this Spirit of Truth becomes all the more important for us to have, I think, in this day and age. And all the much more so just even if you're dealing with your cell phone and the internet. There are all kinds of people out there that want to take your money There are all kinds of people out there that want to mess up your life and steal your identity and make you miserable and use you to disadvantage and things like that. And you need to be discerning. And they are getting better and better at it, of fooling you and tricking you and trying to take advantage of you. You know, it used to be you'd get the emails from the prince in some African country that had his money stuck in somehow, and he needed your help to get his $1 million out of Africa. And if you would just do that, you know, this millionaire in Africa just happened to get my email, pull it out of the bunch. I'm the lucky guy because I'm going to get 10% of his millions if I follow him. They're getting much and much better and subtle at that, aren't they, as far as that. The sites look good. Their English is much better. The logos are all there. All the fine print is there. You have a real hard telling, is this a legitimate site or not? And if the world can do that, how much more the enemy of our souls that has been perfecting his craft for centuries upon centuries of how to deceive us, how to fool us, how to get us to believe his lies. The subtleness of his pressures and the little things that he can say and things that he can whisper in your ear to do that. And so how much we need in this day and age, that spirit of truth, that's something that just warns us on the internet, don't hit that button. Probably too good to be true. There's got to be fine print. There's got to be a catch. And I'm not really sure that I need what they're offering me anyways. I wasn't looking for it, right? But we need that in our daily walk as well. Don't go down that road. Don't believe that story. That news that you're hearing isn't really accurate, isn't the real picture of what's going on. But it says here, the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. And again, everything for life and godliness is promised to us. And guide us into all truth. Jesus is the one that said, I am the truth. So what he will do to you is guide you to Jesus. And again, guide you to something eternal, right? That's the kind of dividing line here. Is it a temporary thing or is it going to last forever? And Jesus has lasted forever. He's been here, done that, died, crucified and all that, and rose back again. He's sticking around. Well, actually, he's coming back at some point in time. And here again, how he takes of Jesus's and shares that with you, takes what's mine, that's Jesus speaking, and discloses it to you. I believe the Holy Spirit does not want to be the center of attention. He does not want to be the focus of our service. He wants to be here. He wants to powerfully be able to move. But what he wants to do is show us Jesus and to bring the glory to Jesus. And what we need is not so much to be filled with the Holy Spirit as to yield our lives to Jesus Christ. That's the real invitation that's given, to be born again. And when that happens, then you become filled with the Spirit. He's able to pour that out on you. So the Holy Spirit doesn't want to be the center of attention, and all he wants is to reveal Jesus to us. And here's where it gets confusing if you're a person that likes to study words and things like that, because it talks about Jesus abiding in us. And John here talks about the Father coming and abiding with us, making his dwelling with us. Talks about the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling in us. And if you're trying to sort out all those different titles and things like that, boy, who's really in here? I asked Jesus into my heart, but I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. But these three are all the same. Their character, their personality is all the same. It's like having almost three identical, perfect, identical twin triplets standing in front of you. And you can't tell them apart. And so, you know, you don't fight over, well, boy, is it the Father that's dwelling in me or revealing himself and all that. And all three of them want to have that relationship with you that we started talking about. That's his ultimate plan, to include us into that perfect relationship that they have had as a perfect and complete Trinity for all of time. And they all want to be included in that. They all want to be a part of that. That's exciting to do that. So the Spirit of Truth, let's John 8:31-32 there. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Again here, the key to that is the belief. If you, to those Jews who believed in him, without that, this promise isn't necessarily for you. The belief is the key. It's Jesus, not seeking after the Holy Spirit itself. It's all part of the package that's given to us at salvation. We need the Holy Spirit to be saved. We're not going to make it without the Holy Spirit. And that's, again, why we're stopping and taking these times and these weeks to focus on that, because the church neglects that too much. What does that really mean and look like? We are not trying to live this life just in my own strength and my own understanding. I need the helper. I need the Spirit of Truth here guiding me into these things that will always be a mystery. I will never be able to completely explain them to you, no matter how many weeks I stand up here. But at least to point in that direction of over there, and then you can look and say, oh yeah, I see that in my life, or I see how the Holy Spirit, and I begin to recognize him and recognize his voice. And here again, the finding that truth, the Spirit of Truth, it needs to be anchored in the word. It's not just everything our minds can conjure up. It's not just our own agendas. It's not our own desires. Oh, I'd really like to go out and change the world. Well, God may just want you to be a faithful husband or a faithful, bring up kids that are going to go change the world. You know, we get these ideas of greatness and grandeur, and we kind of get jealous of the people that are speaking in front of thousands of people and mighty ministries and stuff like that. And that might not be what God has for us. But be careful of our own agendas. Our hearts that are so deceitful needs to always be anchored in the word. You will know if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The Holy Spirit's never going to direct you in a way that's inconsistent with what God says in his word. And so in learning to discern those voices and in listening to him, you need to know God's word. You need to be in scripture to balance that out. The word tells us the truth. And isn't it in this day and age the only thing that we can absolutely know is true? You can find all kinds of different theories, different churches, different beliefs, different solutions to your problem out there. They'll all probably cost you money eventually. Sign up for something. But the scripture is the answer. The scripture is the truth. And it's not going to change. It's not the latest fad of what's the best diet or what's the what you should be eating eggs or not eating eggs, depending on what decade it is, type of thing. It's the truth of feeding on God's word. Everything in the world is suspect. There's always a hidden agenda. See that John 8:44. You are of the Father. Jesus is saying this a little bit. Just after that, if you continue in my word, talking to the Jewish people that are arguing with him. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. He is the liar and the father of lies. And so the one warning there is there are people out there that might be very impressive, might be very successful, but their heart is not for you. They are murderers. They are looking to take advantage of you. They are looking to harm you, to get you to believe things that go down a road that's going to be destruction for you. So to be aware of that, and then to realize that he's a liar. and he's blind, we talked about that, he's blinded the minds of the unbelieving. And we realize because of the resurrection that we celebrated just a month or so ago that he's a defeated enemy. He has no real power over us. God, the fear of death, the fear of man, all of those things have been taken away from him. God rose victorious from the grave with the keys of death and hell in his hands, having taken them from the enemy. But he is not willing to admit that truth yet. He still likes to jangle around in his pocket and pretend he's got those keys in there, that he's the one in charge. And the only power that the enemy has is what he can get us to be afraid of and what he can get us to believe, the lies and the distortions that he's telling us. And the world is full of those lies, deceptions, the twisted truth. Just all around us, all the time. Anytime you turn on the media, you're being surrounded by somebody's agenda that's trying to push something on you. With that, and with that, you also go with this idea, 1 John, I quote this verse all the time, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, says in 1 John 5. And so we say he's defeated enemy, doesn't have any power, but that's not exactly true in the one sense. He still has control over a lot of people in this world. And he can use them and manipulate them to tempt you, to mess up your life, to get you to go in the wrong direction because of that. And in some sense, he can has the power to deliver what he promises to you. You want to feel good? He can make you feel good. You want to be popular? He can make you be popular. You want to be rich? He can make you be rich. Temporarily. But you know, he is a liar and the father of lies. And he will keep his promises only as long as he has to. And eventually he will turn on you and not keep his word. It's more than you bargained for if you follow him. And so again, he can promise you things in this physical world, but and the worldly things, but he does not keep his word. The physical things are only temporary. God promises you the unseen eternal things if we seek for him and seek his truth. We see that kind of there, 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not him in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. There again is that test. Is it a temporary thing? Are you going to take it with you when you pass? Not the things of this world. But God is promising you there, do his will, you will live forever. You'll take those things with you. You'll take the fruit of your life with you in the sense of the people that you have won to the Lord, the difference in the impact that you've had on people's lives with that. The promise is there that all the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of the life, are not from God, not from the Father. They're from the world. And they're temporary things. They're not of the Spirit. They do not give us the life that we're looking for. Just one last point here, just very, very quickly. One more role he looks at of the Holy Spirit. John 15, 26. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. The power in all of this, and again, the disciples were given the resurrection and the ascension and that, oh, it's going to be your job to take this gospel message to the whole world. And they're saying, who? Me? Don't sound too lightly. And yet here the power of that message, the testimony, is going to be what the Holy Spirit does. You can explain the gospel. You can present the gospel as best as you can. You can give your testimony. In the next verse, 15:27, he also says, oh, by the way, you're going to testify too. You're going to testify of what the Lord has done in your life. You're going to stand up and say, once I was blind, and now I can see. Once my life was miserable and lost, and I was in a terrible place, and God has turned that around and changed me and lifted me up and set me on solid ground. You're going to be able to give those testimonies. You're going to be able to explain the gospel to the people. Here's the message. Jesus came, died for our sins, suffered for those, paid the price, and rose again victorious. You can be saved knowing that. You can give that message, but it's the Holy Spirit that's going to do the work of changing somebody's heart and life. You can't do that no matter how well you speak. How hard you try to drive it into their head. How many illustrations you can give. If the Holy Spirit is not speaking to them, you're not going to accomplish anything with that. He goes on to say he comes and he's going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But I want to close with this. Again, we need that Holy Spirit to be effective. He's the one that's going to testify. He's the one that's going to make us successful in our lives, allow us to bear fruit in our own lives and in the lives of other people. This focus, I keep coming back to Romans 5:5. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. That's the whole gift. That is the whole thing that God wants to do in giving us this gift and pouring out the Holy Spirit. He wants to fill us with his love to an overflowing, overwhelming, to where it's not going to be hard to testify. We're going to be so excited about what good things God has done for us. It's me sitting there yesterday morning just so in awe of God's goodness to me. And what could I do but let the tears come to my eyes and just sing of his love forever. Testify to that. How good he has been to me. And so there again, all of this Holy Spirit, all of this is because that's how God is going to pour out his love on you. And you need to be just grounded in that, that no matter what your past, no matter where you're at or now, God loves you so much and is so committed to changing you and fulfilling you in your life, giving you that life. Romans 8:35-37, just close with these couple of verses. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? All these outward things. Is it going to change God's love for us? Not at all. But in all these things, all the distress, all the persecutions, all the trouble, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. And if that's not enough of the truth, he goes on in 38 and 39. And with this, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He just loves us that much. And that's the whole gospel message. All that he's doing in this final puzzle piece. I'm going to pour out that love inside of you. Fill you with my spirit. So we do have Sunday afternoon questions just to try to put this in perspective for you, because I know you're not going to do much but sit in front of the air conditioner for the afternoon. At least that's number one on my agenda. So do you have trouble asking for help? I sure do. I can do it myself. I'll figure it out. And God's, I'd be glad to help you. And what lies about yourself do you believe? Oh, you'll never be good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not good looking enough. You're not talented. You're nobody. You'll never amount to anything. Oh, you should just be content with what you've got because you don't deserve any better. Those are all lies of the enemy, aren't they? Those are not God's truth. Those are not his heart for you. Don't believe those lies. Let the Spirit of truth tell you otherwise. And then just as a last thought, what is keeping you from experiencing the full love of God? Is there something you're holding on to? Is there something that's that roadblock, that barrier that he's dealing with that you're too afraid or not able yet to give up? And just have a long talk with him if that's the case. Okay? Let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, all that you have done, this whole gospel, this whole plan of salvation that you have carried out over these centuries to bring us to this place where we can be welcomed into fellowship with you, where we can be made complete and we can be perfectly loved and we can love other people perfectly, where we can become part of the solution to this broken and messed up and hurting world rather than part of the problem in what you want to give us and what you want to pour out to us. So Lord, teach us in these days. Open our eyes to see, Lord God, what we're not seeing. Help us to be humble and ask for help. Help us to be discerning of what's the truth, how you see us, who Jesus really is, as he sits at the right hand of the Father now interceding for us. So Lord God, help us to go walk in the fullness of that, and just humbly before you with that teachable spirit to learn from you. So do give you a thanks and praise for this and just the glory in the days ahead. In Jesus' name then we pray all this. Amen.